Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast. There are a lot of fun things about my life and the enjoyment of my life, and I'm very grateful for it. Just as a person, but also as a pastor. And I'm going to let you in on little treats I get from time to time. You know, the children in the church, I don't know, for whatever reason, I don't know, some of them, I get the feeling that they like me. And, you know, some of them I'm sure aren't sure of me, but, you know, they'll come in and high-five me or run up and hug me or hang off me somewhere. And I want you to know that I enjoy that, and they are not a disruption to me. And they'll come up and, you know, give me the fist, the pound. Some will explode it afterwards, you know. Some look at me and then they hide behind their parents' legs and, you know, things like that. And but sometimes they give me things. And over time, I usually hang on to them for a little while and look at them and enjoy it. I'll tuck them in a suit coat or put them on my desk or in my Bible. And sometimes they draw me pictures. Most of them seem to come on like the tithing envelopes. And so it's fun. I got one here recently, and, well, you can't see it from there, but it looks like this. And there's this little guy, and he's throwing this stone. And you can see multiple stones because it's like there's this movement, and, you know, like you were getting it frame by frame. And there's a guy standing there, and he gets hit in the head, and you can see him slowly begin to fall over, and his mouth gets open, and he, you know, and, you know, they run up and say, here, draw your picture. It's David and Goliath. You know, and I look at that, and I smile, and I've got other ones where there's a big set of eyes, and there's a few crosses, and I want you to know I enjoy it. It's not just a cute thing to me. You know, it lets me know that, hey, they're learning something somewhere, number one. And number two, God uses these things to speak to me. Like, don't get your eyes off the cross. You know, Jesus, he didn't take his eyes off the cross and what was set before him. And so I look at these things, and they're enjoyable. And then along the way, you know, there's some fun ones, too, that there's this little guy and a big guy, and words are written in a swirl, and some of it's highlighted. I don't know where they got the highlighter. But it says, I have to read it because they wrote it in a circle. Hey, we got God on our side. You know, little guy and looking up to the big guy. I'm guessing the big guy is Jesus. And the interesting thing about this one is I flipped it over. And some of you probably went without groceries because there's a list on the back. Cheez-Its, Wheat Thins, Ranch or Buffalo, Fruit Snacks, Ocean Spray, Brown Meat. There's good written after that. I'm not sure what that meant. Good brown meat. That beats the alternative. Pretzel sticks, flavor packets, lemonade, yellow, for water. So if you've been lean on groceries, here's your list. Although it might be a few weeks old. And so these are little things that make me chuckle, make me happy. God uses some of them to speak to me. And I just want you to know that we love children around here, and young couples, keep having them. You old couples, pray about it. And anyhow, because of Christmas, we've, of course, we celebrate Christ every day, and his coming, you know, to earth and giving his life over, and that we can experience a love that towards us that's not based upon our performance. And so we celebrate around Christmas. We always take time to read through, you know, the what came up to the birth of Christ, you know, and we read what we call the Christmas account or the Christmas story. You know, we look in Matthew, we look in Luke chapter 2, and we read about the shepherds and the angels and Joseph and Mary and, you know, that kind of thing. And here we are after Christmas, and I want us to look at something this morning about what we find next in the scripture. You know, we don't really read a lot or have a lot of information about Jesus' childhood. You know, we have an account where his parents kind of lost track of him as they were traveling with the entourage of their family and just kind of assume they're probably with another relative or something like that. And so, Brock, could you do me a favor? I need you to help Carol just for a moment. I forgot to tell you. Thanks, pal. You can listen to this powerful sermon, the portion you miss online, son. I could repeat it to you at home. You know, so I didn't even turn around. Yeah, whatever, Dad. But, and so I want us to look at kind of the next segment of what we look at in Jesus' life. And how, not we just look at what happened in his life, but there's a little bit of a pattern here that I think that you and I will identify with, and it's probably one of the purposes that it's been included in Scripture. And I want us to look at this pattern that Jesus gets baptized, okay? So there's a baptism, and it's about this experience with God. And then as it goes on here in the passage, you'll see that it goes from baptism to temptation to rejection. And maybe you can kind of just hang those little points in the back of your mind. In Luke chapter 4, and if you want to follow along and you didn't bring your Bible, there's a pew rack in front of you, and there's a Bible in there. And I want you to know you can follow along in that Bible. If you came this morning and you actually don't own a Bible, the Bible that's in the pew rack, you cannot just take that out and follow along. You can actually take it with you today, make it your own. That's a gift from the Lord to you. You can have that Bible. We have more, and we replenish them when we see that they're missing, and so you can take that as a gift if you like. Don't be shy about that. But in Luke chapter 4, excuse me, and it says in verse 1, and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan. Okay, so we know that, you know, as we look at the Gospels and kind of put things in chronological order, Jesus was already baptized, okay? And now, as he has this experience in his baptism, it says he's full of the Holy Spirit, returns from the Jordan, and led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry, and the devil said to him, and it goes through a few things that happened there. We'll touch briefly on that. And then I want us to jump down to verse 16. It says, and after this temptation, this 40 days of seeking the Father, his heavenly Father, it says he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, or what was going to be his custom, he used the synagogue a lot as a place for him to teach the people and communicate with people, instruct them about the kingdom of heaven. It says, so he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all those in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." So he's reading from the prophet Isaiah. And we know that Isaiah, we consider him a messianic prophet. He prophesied a lot about the coming Messiah. Well, now Jesus is here. He reads this portion that is actually about him. And he's letting everybody know, this is the fulfillment of the scripture. It's fulfilled today in your hearing. In other words, it's come to pass. And so this is what's transpiring. And if we were to move down, as Jesus talks a little bit more about this, it says in verse 28, when they heard these things, all of them now in the synagogue were filled with wrath, anger. And they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of a hill on which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he walked away. Jesus has this baptism, and when we actually, if we were to take time to read it, some of you may be familiar with it. Jesus goes, and John the Baptist baptizes him in the water. He's immersed in the water. He comes up, and the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove descends upon him, and a voice from heaven is heard about, "This is God's Son, in whom the Father is well pleased." And so there is this marvelous experience in baptism. And I want to mention to you that this pattern of an experience with God, whether it's baptism, a unique time of prayer, maybe in church during worship, maybe it's if you come to the front and what we call the altar and you kneel or stand or whatever and you pray, maybe it's a place in your private life where you have this experience with God that is very personal and very uplifting. And it's this freshness that comes to our life when we experience him. And I want you to know it's not a one-time experience. We can continue to have those experiences with him. Turn to the person next to you and say, "Good, because I need that." Yeah, it's true. We need it. And we have these wonderful experiences. Jesus had this wonderful experience at baptism, the affirmation of his Father. You know, we get affirmed by our Father in heaven. We pray to him, talk to him. He has a way to communicate with us, right? I mean, we know through his word, through his presence. And if you're sitting here this morning and going, "What are you talking about? I've never had that happen." You don't have to feel guilty about that. I just want to encourage you, you know, draw close to him. Read his word. Ask him to help you read it. Let him reveal things to your heart. He has a way to communicate by his Holy Spirit to us. See, we're made up of body, soul, and spirit. And so, because God is spirit, and these things are all in the scripture, his spirit has a way to communicate with us. That our inmost person, our spirit being, we understand. There's this revelation that comes. There's this experience that we can have with him. God is not just out there somewhere. Okay? He's not just out there somewhere. His spirit, his presence. That's why Jesus rose from the dead. Right? He's living. He is not a God who is fashioned by the hands of men. He always was, is, and forever will be. And so, through this faith, we experience him, have a real relationship with him. And so, I want to encourage you that you can have these experiences with God. Well, Jesus has this wonderful affirmation from the Father, and just like you and I can have in our life, not just at baptism, but those moments where we spend time with him. And so, as we spend time with him, these affirmations come of him being a great father, perfect father, loving father, a little different maybe than our heavenly father, if we even know who our heavenly or our earthly father is. And so, we have these experiences. Jesus has this experience, and right after this wonderful experience, the Holy Spirit is upon him. He's full of the Holy Spirit. He goes out to fast and pray for 40 days. Now, isn't it interesting that as Jesus heads out to fast and pray and seek his Father in heaven, You know, spend time alone with him. Put himself away privately to devote himself to God, even to the point of not eating food. He's fasting, putting away the flesh part to seek God. Who shows up? You can say his name. The devil. I want you to know that there's plenty of times where we set out to seek God because we have this wonderful experience with him. We set out now to seek him. We take time the next morning and we begin to change our life pattern. Say, you know, I want to get close to God. So we begin to read his word, study it, take a few verses, think about it. How do I apply it to my life? And we start to talk to God about it. And we begin to develop this relationship. But we set time aside. And we're thinking life's going to be pretty good now. Which it is. But it's like somebody else shows up who was not invited. I can't even begin to tell you the number of times, because I couldn't count, where I've gone to seek him or read his word or be alone with him or pray. And you know what? My heart was to seek the Lord and to find him, and some other party showed up to get in the way, to distract me, to bring doubt to me, to accuse me, remind me of my past or something else. It's like the enemy of our soul shows up, and our intention was to seek God and do good. Here's Jesus, he has this wonderful experience, and then he goes to seek his Father and shut himself away to be alone with the Father. And intermittent with the seeking of his Father, the enemy shows up. Shows up to, shows up to appeal to Jesus' flesh, because we know him as the Son of God, but he is also the Son of Man, right? He was born. Had a body like you and I. Mind, will, emotions like you and I. Acquainted with life like you and I. And so the enemy appeals to his flesh. And I'm sure there were other temptations and things that went on that are not recorded. But there's one that talks about, you know, Jesus is hungry, and the devil shows up and says, hey, you're hungry. Well, you're the, you know, if you're the Son of God, you can take that rock and make it bread, and why don't you eat it? The appeal to the flesh. Then tries to bribe Jesus, for lack of a better term. If you do this, then I will, you know. Bow down and worship me, and I will give you. Tries to tempt Jesus in the way of, hey, why don't you prove who you really are? I mean, if you are who you really are, you can jump down from the pinnacle of this temple, and the angels will rescue you. And tries to appeal and entice Jesus into this argument, this dialogue, and Jesus just answers back with Scripture. He answers back with his Father's word. The interesting thing is, for us to be able to walk through these kind of times, we have to have a sense of preparation. I think to be able to answer with Scripture, we need to know the Scripture. To be able to answer the Scripture, we should probably know the author of the Scripture. See, it's interesting that you and I can have these experiences with God, and we set out to be close to him, and all of a sudden there's temptation in our life, weaknesses show up, our natural tendencies try to lash out and live out in our life that we know are not right. Reminded of the Scripture in 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, I want to read this to you. It's the Apostle Paul, and he's writing, and he says, he quotes God here, and he says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." God's grace, his favor, his kindness is sufficient for you. Turn to the person next to you and say, "His grace is sufficient for you." And you can even point at the person if you want. His grace is sufficient for you. Hey, come on. Participate this morning. Turn to the person next to you and say, "God's grace is sufficient for you." I'll be honest with you, I hate when I see weakness in me. I don't like it. I don't. I hate it. And, you know, on a physical parallel, it plays out in my life a little more than it used to. I don't know if I've just gotten weaker, maybe I got a little smarter, I don't know. But I see limitations all the time as I think about entering into, you know, my midlife. I'm not there yet. I'm going to live to 120, so I'm not there yet. Well, it's a nice idea. You know, limitations. But the parallel in the physical life is there are limitations that I have. And I still battle, because I'm in this body. And there are things that I battle. There are things that you battle. Things that you fight. And I don't like the weakness when it shows up. I don't like when it shows the weakness that, oh, you just ran out of patience right there. Or you loved so far, but love calls us further and you stopped. You grew weary. Ah! I wanted to hang in there and press through. Some temptation of our flesh or our natural tendency. I hate it. Listen, I do not like when I sin. I don't like when I do things against God's character and God's instruction. It is no longer a joy to me. It's a disappointment to me. And I have to remind myself. I mean, I've got to take responsibility for who I am. But I've got to remind myself that His grace is sufficient for me. And in my weakness, His strength is made perfect. Here's the beauty of our weakness. We understand our limitations. We understand that we are not God. And we understand that we have a need. And the need is to be rescued. The need is to be helped. The need is that I need strength that is not my own. And so the Apostle Paul writes and he says, "Your grace is sufficient for me. And in my weakness, your strength gets to show up. And it shows up in a perfect manner. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." If you are here and you would like the power of Christ to rest upon you, there's a step that happens before that. And it is the recognition that we are weak and we need Him. If we embrace that truth, the Spirit of Christ can rest upon us. That's what Paul writes. If I will recognize my weakness, if I embrace the weakness, that doesn't mean I continue to live in it or that I don't have to change. It's the recognition that I need a Savior. And as that happens, the power of Christ rests upon us. It says, "For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weakness, insults, hardship, persecutions, calamities." He could go on with the list, all the things that we're acquainted with in this life. "For when I am weak, then I am strong." It's the idea that God, and not just an idea, the reality is that God carries us when we fall on Him, when we throw ourselves on Him. I'm at the end of myself. I'm all messed up, you know. I'm entangled in sin. I've chosen another way and I've justified it like it's acceptable. And I've used other people's arguments, or I've used the reasons of this world and human intellect to support my life or my lifestyle or what I do or how I choose to be. And I want you to know, rather than justifying it, coming to him and just saying, listen, I know this ain't right. I know this isn't right. I need your help. I don't know how to change it. I don't even know how to begin this. I am just calling out to you. And in that weakness, his strength can come and begin to transform our life and give us strength that is not our own. Many times this battle goes on after we've had a wonderful experience with God, like a baptism, a moment with God. And we set out to seek God, and we have this idea that life is going to be different, and it is. We're not wrong in that. But it comes with this conflict, and it comes with this battle. We read about the babe in the manger, and then basically the next segment that it goes to is that Jesus is baptized in the power of the Spirit, and he goes out to seek his Father, and the devil shows up, and there's this temptation, and there's this conflict, and this battle, and all these things. And then when this is over, and through God's word, Jesus walks victorious out of these 40 days of seeking the Father and being tempted of the enemy. After the enemy has tried to appeal to his flesh and, you know, is there any pride in this man? Is there, you know, any arrogance? Is, you know, can I get them entangled in a foolish argument? And can I get them to prove themselves? And Jesus came prepared because he knew the Father and he knew the Word. And that's a little point for us, that we must become familiar with him and very familiar with his Word in our life. Even after we have the great experiences with God, because we have to walk through this life in that kind of faith. And I will tell you that many have lost their way in that stage of life. I know what it is to lose my way in that segment of life. Don't kid yourself, just because, you know, there's some letters before my name, R-E-V, does not make me immune to the things of this life and the things of this flesh. I can have experiences with God and walk out of that experience and feeling good and feel right and be at peace. And I want you to know that what was deposited in me in that experience will be challenged at some point. It will be challenged in our life. So Jesus goes through this experience with God. He has this baptism. He goes to seek the Father, and the devil shows up. And after these 40 days, he goes out, and it says his ministry really begins. Well, he reads the scroll from Isaiah in the synagogue, and they're kind of awed at how he does this, and wow. And then as he begins to say it's fulfilled, and he begins to talk about this fulfillment, those who are listening, they're angry. And they say, hey, isn't this Joseph's son? And they get so angry and filled with wrath that this crowd begins to form and drive Jesus to the brink of town, as we read, to the edge of a hill to throw him off the cliff. So Jesus' ministry begins with this huge rejection. A rejection of people. He has an experience with God. He has this experience with the enemy of his soul. And now he has this experience with mankind. I mean, Jesus went there to do good. He's just saying, this is the scripture. It's fulfilled. Hey, joy should come to you because the Messiah is here. And they reject it. We have this experience with God, and many times say, I had this experience with God. God gave me faith. I'm so excited. I am so filled up with him. And we just barrel out into life, and all of a sudden something trips us up, and some temptation, and something tries to drag us down, and we win over the temptation. God helps us. We rely on his strength, and we just have this idea that God's going to use us, and he wants to use us, and it's his purpose. We know it. We know it by scripture. We know by what he revealed to our heart when we have sought him and spent time with him. And then you go out and begin to do ministry, and It's rejected. It didn't unfold like you thought. You planned some event, and it just didn't flourish. You share the gospel with somebody, and they just shut you down. You're like, wait a minute. What's going on? Oh, didn't I hear from God? Well, maybe I was wrong. Maybe, and we start to fill our life with doubt, and we wonder, why are we rejected? Maybe we're not really called to this. I want you to see this pattern that went on in the life of the Son of God here on earth, that you and I can identify with it and not lose our way. The experiences we have with God are real. And when this life tests them, don't doubt it. When the concerns of life try to choke it out, do not let it happen. And in your weakness, call out on Him and let His strength begin to lead you and give you wisdom and give you thoughts and direct your life that you know you are not doing just on your own. And where we have been wrong and He begins to convict us or correct us, listen, let Him find in us a willingness to be taught, to change, that this faith is real. And it can be fruitful in our life, no matter what our history has been, no matter what we have been 2 hours ago. There's a point of change, an experience with Him, and it will be tested. And when we begin to move out with an excitement and a passion, and then people don't recognize it, people don't accept it, don't be discouraged by it. Look at the pattern. If this happened to the Son of God, how much more should it happen to me? I mean, He is without flaw. I'm flawed. If this pattern He walked through in His life, then maybe it'll happen in mine, most likely, and multiple times. Don't get mad at God. Resist the devil. And don't get mad at humanity. They're flawed, remember? Just like me. Just like you. But as a body of believers, when someone is being used by the Lord, listen, don't judge it because you know them. When somebody from among us is being used by God, should we not delight in it and take from what God is offering to us to be encouraged through this person's life, rather than say, I know them. I know what they've done. I know where they're from. Jesus talked about that in the synagogue because they said, aren't you Joseph's son? You know, we've taken that verse where it says a prophet is not welcomed in their own hometown. I want you to know that that's not the prophet's fault. We take it as, hey, listen, you can't minister in your own hometown. That's not really the principle. The principle that is there is that when God raises someone up and uses someone amongst people who know you, we should not miss God by rejecting the person. That's the point. That's the point. They missed the Messiah because they knew the Messiah's mama and daddy. Wait a minute. I know them. They're from Cashton. I knew that lady when she was a little girl. Ho ho! Rebel rouser! Used to run around with the boys a lot. Oh, I guess that means that she can't be transformed and used by the Lord, right? No. Oh, I know him. I had a business experience with that person 7 years ago. They didn't act like a Christian. I was so embarrassed in that meeting. And now they're going to prophesy or they're going to do, oh, or they're going to teach a class. Oh! And we miss God. The point wasn't just that the prophet isn't welcomed in his hometown. It's that the believers and the people there reject the person when God is wanting to use them and bring a gift to the people. And we miss it. That's just a side note. Because as God raises people up out of this body who you know, and you may know some of their past, Jesus frees us from our past. Why can't we allow other people to be freed from their past through faith in Christ? I'm doing my best. So there is this baptism or this experiences we can have with God. And afterwards, many times there's temptation and we recognize our weakness and we want to throw in the towel. Listen, rely upon Christ. Rely upon the Father. Let him draw close to you as you draw close to him. Understand your weakness. Don't try to, you know, explain it away. Well, I'm this way because, and you know, don't justify it. I am weak. I need your strength. I am corrupt and I need your holiness. I am broken and I need your healing. I fight these patterns of thought and dealing with things and hurt in life because of how I've been taken advantage of or corrupted in my past. But Lord, your word says that your blood has all power to forgive me. Amen. And that I can put faith in you, and this grace will empower me to change and be different. Though my mind remembers the past, I don't live under its influence. I live now under the influence of a relationship with you and the fullness of your Spirit, that I can rely on your strength to see me through temptation as I use wisdom and run from it, Scripture teaches. And when I am rejected, as I try to do good in your name and minister, help me not to throw in the towel, but understand you went through the very thing. And I will continue to minister in your name and be used by you. Teach me wisdom. Teach me from the experience I have, but don't ever let me throw in the towel. I will never do that again. Listen, if I would have said that, I'd have never made it as far as I am. Not that I'm very far. Oh, I tried to teach once. That didn't go very well. I'll never do that again. Oh, I tried to plan an event and nobody showed up. Oh, I'll never do that again. I like when we say we will never. I like when God makes a liar out of us. I will never go to Africa. Uh-huh. Your home church is going to support you in missions. We're going to send you. There's this baptism or experience. There's a temptation we experience, that the one who comes against our soul. And sometimes we don't get the support from people that we thought we would get, or the reception from people that we thought we should have. But I want to remind you that Jesus, he went back to his hometown. Or I want to remind you in Acts chapter 1 where we're called. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you should be given power from his Spirit. And you will be his witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. If Jesus were here today and we were in that scenario, he may say it like this. He say, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, he will give you power to be his witness. In Sparta, in Leon. If you don't know where Leon is, that's just like a stone's throw over the interstate. In the Hidden Valley region, where we live, by the way, in Wisconsin, in the Midwest, in this nation, and in other nations where you've not gone yet, other experiences in life that you've not had yet. That's how it would play out, that we would be his witness right here where we are. In Jerusalem, Nazareth, the area of Galilee, the place where Jesus' home was. God's not calling us or asking anything of us that he himself has not walked through and done. He gets it. He gets it. So when you have these experiences with God, which we want to have, and maybe some of us in this room, it's been a long time, maybe never, I want to encourage you to have an experience with the person of Jesus. Not just be someone out in the crowd saying, I heard about him and kind of read about him and I listened to people talk about him. Now move past all of it and get to him. He does not disappoint, though we his followers sometimes do. Be gracious towards us. We got a long ways to go too. So let's travel it together, encouraging one another to know him and follow him, to lean on his strength when we are tempted or we recognize our weakness or our natural tendencies that have been born out of some sin somewhere or some hurt. And that when we're rejected, we don't lose the faith. I want to remind you in 1 Peter chapter 4, because there are times where I've had experiences with God, feel like I've leaned on his strength, he has brought me through, and I step out to do something in faith that I feel he's called me to do, and it just didn't turn out right. And it's like, what? I felt really good in the prayer time. Felt all empowered. Felt real full of faith. Felt like I was close to God. How come this happened like this? I want to remind you something that we should not be surprised. Look what it says in 1 Peter chapter 4. It says, beloved, do not be surprised at fiery trials when it comes upon you to test you, as if it were something strange that was happening to you. It's not that we walk around with this doom and gloom thinking, well, I had a good time with God and he's brought me through some things. Now I'm going to go out in ministry and I'm just prepared for the worst. Well, that's not it. We're prepared, faith and hope, but we'll plant and we'll water. But only God gives the increase. Besides, we call it our ministry and the reality is it's his ministry. It's not mine. It's his. Our life, it's his, it's supposed to be his, him living in us so that we can experience his strength being made perfect. See, if we suffer some things, it should be for the right reason. It says this, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Whew. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, or an evildoer, or as a meddler, and the list could go on. Your sin could be listed in there. Mine could be. It says, don't let us suffer for the wrong reasons. If we're going to experience hardship, let it be for the right reasons, not things that we have brought upon ourselves like we have in our past. We blame other people, but some things we just brought on ourselves. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God. So we read the beautiful Christmas story, but I want us to grasp the next segment of life that we get a picture of in Scripture by Jesus. He has a wonderful experience with his Father. He's full of the Holy Spirit. And I can't wait to see what Jesus is going to do. And then he goes out to seek his Father, and the devil shows up, and he's tempted. But he leans on his Father's strength, and he comes through, and then he begins to start ministry. And now we think, hey, had experience with God, had victory over the devil. Whew, this is going to be sweet. And Jesus is rejected. Well, Jesus didn't stop, and he kept faithful. And in the next segment, you see him deliver someone who is oppressed. That the scripture from Isaiah is true. He came to set the oppressed free. It's what he does. It's who he is, driven by that kind of love. So I don't know what has trapped you in the past. We are on the threshold of a new year. We are on the threshold of maybe, if we choose to, having a new experience with God. We are on the threshold then, if we walk with wisdom and an ear to Him and relationship with Him, that when temptation comes, we are on the threshold of leaning on His strength for Him to see us through. And that we are on the threshold of new ministry experience. And if it does not go the way we thought and hoped, we don't throw in the towel. And we are not surprised if people reject. But I'm going to continue in this faith. And the fruitfulness of God is going to begin to show up throughout our life. That is what God has for all of you. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, I'm not even sure I have faith in this, Jesus. I just want you to hear this. That I'm glad you're here. And no judgment is passed on you. But I want you to know that God has a purpose and a plan for you. I don't care what your history has been. Because I got a history. And I'm not worthy. But I'm going to be humble and say, this is what you called me to. You're worthy. And so I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And I'm going to lean on you. And I'm going to be full of joy and experience some great things along the way that you bring, including its battles, including its challenges out there, and the challenges in here. In here. So don't throw in the towel, friends. Wherever you're at in this walk, don't throw in the towel. Hear me. It's not too late. It's not too late. It's not too late. Whisper it right where you are. It's not too late. Oh, Randy, you don't know what I've done. You're right, and you don't have to tell me. You don't know what I've done. And listen, it's not about what we've done. It's about what He's calling us to do. When we're in Christ, we're a new creature. Old things have passed away. Everyone says, hallelujah. And behold, all things are becoming new. So as you're on a threshold of a new year, I want you to remember to have experiences with Him. Allow His strength to be made perfect where you're weak. Where your natural tendency wants to show up and lash out or do whatever it does. And you back off from it and say, God, I need your strength so that I don't do things the way I've done before. And as I step out in this, and if things don't go favorably, I don't wave my finger at you and say, see, this doesn't work. Listen, God is more interested in you as a person than what you will do for Him. He has a plan for you, but He's interested in you.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.